This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Bring it to me. Bring your sweet loving. Bring it on home to me. Yeah.
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 I'll give you jewelry and money too. That ain't
welcome back. You know, most St. Louis sportscasters were really thrilled last night. Billikens, Illini Blues. But you could tell Martin did not have a bounce in his step last night because the only thing on his mind was St. John's knocking off his club.
I had to be fair about this because if you had told me at the beginning of the year we'd go 8-2 in our first 10 Big East games, I would have taken it. But I also thought, we could split with St. John's. We'll get them at home. They got us up there. We didn't play well. That's fine. But we were down a ton. It's amazing. My friends are all really positive, even when they lose. And I'm a little bit of the Hoffman wet blanket. And I said, well, what are we doing? I mean, it was a great comeback, but why are we trailing St. John's by 15 at home? But I got over it because it was all about the local teams, Frank. That's all we care about. And thank God.
I don't think it was for you, but
thank God for the Blues.
Yes.
And the Billikens, because it's been a little bit of doom and gloom. And I'm pretty sure we rolled through all of these games yesterday, and we didn't really have a good feeling about
it. The Blues were our best shot, and we weren't optimistic there.
But they all covered, even Mizzou. I don't gamble, but I told Chuck yesterday, I said, why don't you throw some money on Tennessee to cover?
I thought 18 was easy.
Oh, my God. And then at the end of the game, it was like 15, and Tennessee had the ball. I'm like, God, it's amazing how it always kind of comes right down to the spread. But Mizzou covered. Billikens, of course, more than covered. Illinois, more than covered. It was a great night of sports.
All right, let's welcome Dr. Rick to the program. Dr. Rick, how are you today, sir?
I'm good, gentlemen. How are you guys?
Very good. Hey, before we get going with some serious stuff.
Because it's going to get real serious.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
So we're doing a story on this Russian gentleman who's a successful businessman who walks out to his lake every morning, and it can be 5 degrees, it can be 15 degrees, and he chops up some of the ice, and he gets in there, and he kind of just energizes his body, and he texted me, and he said, cold water beats medication. Cold water is best for medication for cold, sinus allergies, running nose, and back pain, and it does boost your body's defense system. What do you think about that?
I think for recovery, ice baths and cold water work. I can't hardly believe it really boosts your defense system, and I can't really believe that it's good for, illness, but I mean, for someone who's got back pain, it acts a little bit as an anti-inflammatory. It does vasoconstrict or shuts down the blood flow, which shuts down the inflammation. But the guy's probably just in great shape and healthy. And my guess is if he's going to get a cold or he's going to get sinuses, he's going to get a cold and sinuses. And I don't know that the cold water is going to help him. But, you know, there's a lot of people that really believe in these cold baths. They take these, you know, they do this cryotherapy. And they're big fans. The studies, unfortunately, haven't really supported that does much for, illness, bacteria infections, et cetera.
What's the best thing a pro athlete can do? Is it the oxygen chamber? I feel like LeBron James goes through this whole routine. All these guys that are supreme athletes, Tom Brady does it now. Well, of all the newer twists and turns and the new gadgets they can put in their house or in their facility, what do you recommend?
Well, you know, hyperbaric oxygen has been good for years. And basically, it's you sit in a chamber or a little room, and that's a big deal. And then the other thing that they all do is they sleep at altitude. So they have these chambers that increases their oxygen-carrying capacity by sleeping at altitude. So you sleep in this little room, and it basically is like sleeping in Denver or higher. So most of the guys are doing that. A lot of guys are doing these floating baths where they get in these baths, shut the lights off, or Stephon Curry does it for an hour. I think 10, 15 minutes is plenty. But if you said, what's the healthiest possible thing you could do? There are these germ-free, sterile environment tents They're brand new, and that's going to be the hottest thing. And you're going to see all these athletes going by these tents. But, you know, if you're LeBron James, you're LeBron James. I mean, you know, or Tom Brady, all the rest of this, I mean, I got to tell you, most of that's genetic. So none of us are like LeBron James, and us sleeping in a hyperbaric chamber ain't going to get you 40 a night.
So for Frank and I can do the cryotherapy, we can do the oxygen, we're probably not going to be LeBron James. Sadly.
You know, that's a good bet.
We see all these Gatorade baths during this kind of championship era when we're watching college teams win it and pro teams win it. And I was just talking with Brian and Plowsy about how George Allen, many people think that he died because of that. He never recovered from that Gatorade bath. He got the pneumonia shortly afterwards. What about, you know, these coaches in these cold weather areas getting that stuff?
Well, you know, I mean, I think that, I mean, when it's freezing out and you get dumped on, you know, that is going to increase your chances, because Gatorade has a lot of sugar on it, and sugar is going to create a bacteria, almost like a bacteremia, where you're going to get lots of bacteria on your skin and in your bloodstream. So if you're a little older or a little compromised, you know, some of these coaches are older, then that's a really bad idea. If you're, you know, Sean McVay and you're 33 years old and you want to give a Gatorade bath, probably not going to matter. But for people that are a little sick or a little immunocompromised, they can't mount as much of a response, you know, that could be a problem. Just like you get these people that douse stuff on themselves to go hunting. I mean, you got to be careful about that, because, again, if you're a little bit older and you get a whole lot of bacteria in your skin, you cut yourself, you know, you can really get sick.
Dr. Rick Lehman, the founder, the medical director, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine, a longtime orthopedic surgeon, advisor to professional athletes, but also former owner of the Florida Panthers. And I have a question. This is going to sound insulting, but it's not. How do they make money in Miami when you see these games, and we don't watch a lot of their games? Last night the Blues played the Panthers, and there's nobody there. And I can't remember the last Panthers game I saw where there were a lot of people there. It appears that stadium is northwest of Lauderdale. How do the Panthers survive?
So the stadium's near Weston. The Panthers don't, you know, which is one of the reasons we sold. I don't think in the 10 or 11 years I was there, I think we had one year where we kind of broke even. Huh. So I don't really think they make money. And I think it's very, very difficult. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff to do in South Florida. The team doesn't win. And, you know, how popular it's not Toronto or Montreal. So your point's well taken. Our attendance wasn't bad the years, and we were okay. You know, we were certainly not weren't the Blues perennial team to make the playoffs. All those years the Blues made the playoffs, but again, we never made any money, and I doubt you can make money in that environment on the hockey. There was other stuff going on. We had publications, and there was a casino and some other stuff, which got you to break even. But hockey-wise, I don't think we ever made any money.
All right, couple of medical items. Well, first, let's begin with kids, small children, using too much toothpaste.
Yeah, so I think we've all seen people that have these streaky things in their teeth. And if you haven't, if you pay attention, you look at people, some people have these little striations in their teeth, and that's called fluorosis. And, you know, the reason the article was interesting is, you know, little kids have little mouths and little bodies and not a lot of, you know, their blood volume's smaller. So if you dump a ton of fluoride toothpaste, what it does is it streaks the teeth, and they get these streaky, these lines across their teeth. You have them forever, and it never goes away. And the more fluorosis you have, the deeper the lines are. The point being, somebody, you know, 4 or 5 years old needs literally a pea-sized amount of toothpaste. So if you're dumping the toothpaste on, or you're having them drinking, some people have little kids drinking fluoride wash to stop cavities, and all that stuff is fine in very small doses. But in large doses, it actually damages the teeth. So, you know, parents out there, very, very little toothpaste on the toothbrush, because otherwise it creates this problem down the line. And again, it never goes away.
Doc, related note, is it bad for kids to grab the Listerine. So I'll do a little gargle every once in a while. And my kid, who's 8, wants to do the same thing. And my wife says, no, 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 that's not good for kids. Is it bad for them to be doing the mouthwash?
I don't think so. I think same thing. You know, a little bit of Listerine ain't going to make any difference. I wouldn't be dumping a ton in there because it's antibacterial. But, no, I think a little bit of Listerine's fine. It's so nasty. I mean, you wouldn't think kids really want to have it in their mouth.
He just wants to be like his dad, you know, hip and cool.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. Hope he aspires to something a little higher than that. I want to ask you about something kind of interesting. When I think of juice boxes, I think of Mike Ditka in that movie with Will Ferrell, kicking and screaming. But there's actually a serious story with these fruit juices, these packaged fruit juices. What's going on here?
Well, you know, this is something, this was shocking. I mean, this, out of all the stories you read, you know, to see that there's heavy metal in juice is crazy. So heavy metals are metals that don't get absorbed, that are very, very toxic, that create these free radicals, and people believe are predisposing to cancer. So someone did a study, Consumer Reports did a study, they looked at all these juices, and they find that, you know, they got heavy metals in fruit juices. And you think, well, maybe it's going to be one type of fruit juice, this kind of fruit juice, but it's in 45 packages or different types of packages of fruit juice. So, you know, what's the take-home message? Two things. One, fruit juices probably aren't that great for you, primarily sugar, not a lot of nutritional value. You know, they taste great, but, you know, you're probably just as good eating a little candy or something, maybe even better. But more importantly, if this turns out to be the case, and the government will be all over this Consumer Report, you know, then these things are toxic. So, yeah, it's the same thing. If you drink an occasional fruit juice, you know, one a week or something, no harm, no foul. But if you're banging those things out and you're drinking 2-3 a day and there's truly heavy metals, kids are going to end up with cancer. So the question you have to ask yourself, or a doctor has to ask himself, you guys don't have to worry about it, is why is the incidence of cancer on the rise in every age range across the board? Why do little kids get more cancers than they did 10 years ago? And so there has to be some environmental reason. Is it the air? Is it the stuff we're drinking? You know, is it processed foods? And this is one example of something that probably no one would have figured out, certainly wouldn't expect, and is a real problem. So parents out there, you know, before this gets corrected or before this is a bigger issue, you know, I would lay off the fruit juices.
The Rictionary grows. The Dr. Rictionary grows. Banging these things out when it comes to kids and juice boxes. Banging these things out. I'm going to start using that in my daily lexicon. I had a quick question about spring training opening. A lot of these guys now show up early, and they say the reason that they need these 6 weeks is for the pitchers to stretch themselves out. I think they just make a lot of money on all these stupid games that people like to go to, and it is fun to go down there. What's realistic for a pitcher? Why does it take them 6 weeks to be able to start a big league game?
Well, you know, it doesn't. So we've talked about this before. Back in the day, guys came to spring training. They weren't in shape. They didn't really work out. They were 15, 20 pounds overweight, and they quote-unquote played themselves into shape. And I lived those days. I think I was working with the Expos then, actually, in 88, 89, back in the day. And, you know, guys would come in, they'd be overweight, and then by the time everything got going, you know, they were in shape and things were great. A pitcher doesn't just walk into spring training having done nothing in the offseason. So if, in fact, that were the case, meaning you took the whole offseason off, you didn't do anything, you didn't stretch, you didn't lift, you didn't throw at all, yeah, it might take you 4 or 5 weeks to get into shape. But that's really not the case. Guys come into shape, they're not overweight, they've been working out, they've been stretching, they've been throwing, you know, maybe not to the level that they're going to throw in spring training, but they've been throwing. So I think you're probably looking at about 2 weeks, 3 weeks absolutely maximum. But, you know, who doesn't want to spend 6 weeks in Jupiter, Florida? Let's be honest. Right. So, you know, I think it makes sense. But I think the idea that these guys need 6 weeks to get ready to play baseball is ridiculous.
And they all get credit when they show up early. Oh, look who came to camp early. Oh, look who showed up. And I'm like, they show up for an hour, play catch, and then go golf, and then have dinner at Limoncello next to Claiborne and Frank. I'm like, but can we stop glorifying the guys who showed up early to camp?
Not to mention there's a personal chef there that performs, that gives them breakfast and lunch, whatever they want, whether it's an egg white omelet or a grilled chicken sandwich. That's the life. They go play golf. They're done by 11 o'clock.
It's like 11:30 noon. They're leaving. We chase them down the sidewalk before they get in their Bentleys. Like, hey, do you got a second real quick to talk to the fans back in St. Louis? No, I got to be somewhere. Maybe I'll catch you tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's what a joke. By the way, our coverage next week begins on Fox 2 and News Channel 5.
All right, good stuff, Dr. Rick. We will talk next week. Thank you, sir.
You guys take care.
All right, we got to take a break. The McBride Homes Union Stimulus Program is back. McBride is teamed with the local construction unions to bring you the best home buying opportunity of the year. Buy now, get McBride Homes' best deal on a new home, plus get an additional $2,000 to $10,000 cash for use at closing from the local unions. It's the Union Stimulus Program, and it's only during the month of February. McBride has over 40 communities across Metro St. Louis with homes in every price point and for every lifestyle. Visit McBrideHomes.com for details. You won't believe it, but Chuck Schumer is weighing in on the St. Louis Rams. That story when we come back.